supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things and consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. You are my inheritance, O Lord. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter said to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Celebrate today the feast of St. Clare, who was a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi, born in 1194. As a young lady, she heard St. Francis preach, and she was so moved by his preaching that ultimately she discerned that the Lord was calling her to give herself fully to him as a religious sister. And so on Palm Sunday of the year 1212, when she was 18 years old, Claire and one of her aunts set off for the chapel of the Portiuncula and there took religious vows from St. Francis, who himself cut Claire's hair and put her in a monastery and everything. Her family was not a big fan of this. Her father tried to come, take her. They had plans, we presume, probably to marry her off to someone. And she, in a good saga out of the Middle Ages, she basically was chased, or was found at least, in the church, and she kind of grabbed a hold of the altar and just wouldn't let them drag her away, eventually pulling her veil off to reveal that, her hair had been cut, so apparently that was a symbol that it was over, and they just sort of left her there. And ultimately, she went on to be a great saint. It is notable that she's one of those women that you'd probably like to sit down and have a beer with, kind of like St. Catherine of Siena, but you'd probably be a little scared too, because as one story goes, when it depends where you read it, whose soldiers were approaching the monastery, she basically ordered the Blessed Sacrament put, you know, out by the gates and asked the Lord, like, are you really going to let them do this? And then the army just kind of turned around and ran. A number of popes offered to let her sort of ease up a little on the penance. Her community was very rigid and austere, like the early Franciscans. They didn't mess around. And I believe she wrote to the one pope that she needed absolved of her sins, not of her obedience to Jesus Christ. You know, it's always good when you've got these ladies who are just willing to call it how it is. By the end of her life, the pope at the time ordered for her funeral that they celebrate not the office for the dead, but the office for virgin saints, which is, I think, significant, right? Even in her own time, they recognized her sanctity. It is good that we can rely on the help of such friends in the presence of the Lord to intercede for us, to model for us. And today, as we perhaps reflect throughout the day on the way that St. Clare was willing to offer up everything to follow the Lord in the way he called her, to impose difficulties on herself, to in some ways estrange herself from her family, it might behoove us to consider the ways in which we are still more attached to small things than we are to Jesus Christ. How many times is, you know, fasting during Lent difficult for us? Because, you know, oh, well, I prayed an extra 10 minutes today. I can have that chocolate chip cookie. You know, it's usually silly little things like that, isn't it? And it's every day. And it's not just, you know, spiritual novices. We've been doing this for 90 years, some of us, and we still have the same problems. So today, let us ask St. Clare's intercession that we might recognize any of those small, trivial things in our lives that even in little ways get in the way of surrendering ourselves fully to the Lord, and that by her intercession, strengthened by a renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we may hand over to the Lord Jesus even those smallest things that remain in our hearts that are not of him.